Very easy. You know, afterwards, we did the Olympics together. So, you know, I spent about 3 summers with him after that. So it's he's a great guy. And just some work situations get to be, he wanted one thing, I wanted another, and we kind of clashed a little bit. But surely we can learn from it, we can get better with it, we can make sure it doesn't happen again. And like I said, you know, I've always thought he's a good guy. We never had a blow up verbally. It just wouldn't work out. And we had different ideas at the time. I think our ideas are the same now.
Mike D'Antoni, courtesy of Fox 26 and Mark Berman, discussing the interpersonal issues that D'Antoni and Carmelo had or didn't have back in New York, and now those guys are reunited.
We see this with coaches at times, where guys, as they age, change. I saw it with Tom Coughlin personally, where he aged, it turned him into a better, different guy. His attitude and his personality actually changed over time. Saw it with Dick Vermeil. Sorry, I apologize for all these football references. Dick Vermeil came back the second time as a different guy. So people do change. It's just that it seems like it happens with coaches more than it happens with players, because coaches have the benefit of like 2 or 3 decades for it to happen. It's like the natural aging process. How often does it happen with players that maybe they don't get along well with others, maybe they have personality issues or whatever it might be, and that they transform from not just young in their career and mid in their career, but like at the end of their career, all of a sudden maybe they become easier to get along with? It seems rare. Text in 713-572-4610 if you can think of one.
NBA players who basically changed their approach in some way later in their career to success.
Yeah, to where maybe they had negative connotations attached to him beforehand.
One that comes to mind, and this happened earlier in his career than later, was Zach Randolph. I mean, mm-hmm. That dude was a disaster off the court early on for the first maybe 5 or 6 years, and then he finally got things together, and he became like a community linchpin in Memphis.
Yeah.
That's not obviously the same situation as Carmelo, but that's the first one that kind of comes to
that
mind.
That one, and there you almost, sometimes when you look at that, guys that have too much fire, like they've almost got too much bite in them early on, they age out of that too. That again almost seems like just natural maturity over time.
Yes.
With Carmelo, has it been really since D'Antoni? Since D'Antoni left, where Carmelo ends up looking like the bad guy in a lot of ways in New York when D'Antoni gets forced out of there. Since then, though, it's gradually been more about the Knicks being completely a mess and Carmelo actually became kind of a sympathetic figure there. Maybe there's been more growth in Carmelo. And that's the other thing I was going to bring up earlier, Paul, was, yes, okay, we could say that maybe Carmelo didn't mold himself to the system or wasn't coachable or something last year, but I'm trying to remember, there wasn't any interpersonal drama with Carmelo last year, was there?
No, there wasn't any interpersonal drama. No, that was not a problem. The problem was entirely he did not blend in with Russell Westbrook's psychotic, hey, give me the ball. Give me the ball. Hey, give me the ball. Brand of basketball.
But then didn't want to come off the bench either.
That too.
So that would be the big lynch. That would be the big stumbling block, is that he didn't want to come off the bench to maybe make things better.
That's the issue I have, is that before the season and after the season, he said the same thing when it clearly didn't work. You would think over the season, you would think that maybe, all right, I got to reevaluate what my role is and change it up a bit.
But this is where people get hung up too much on coming off the bench. Like Chris Paul started the games, but then he came in later and he ran the second. It's not like coming off the bench. I can understand where that's a blow to some players' egos. I think it's more of a Billy Donovan issue, that if he didn't take advantage of some of the things Carmelo could have done working with the second group or off the floor with Russell Westbrook. It wasn't as much of like, hey, am I to believe that Carmelo wouldn't have relished a role where he's in charge a good portion of the time on the court.
Am I to believe that Billy Donovan really had that much control over this team? Am I to believe that any coach really has that much control over a team in this league? I mean, I feel like a guy like Carmelo Anthony.
I'm saying that it might just be Billy Donovan's not that good a coach. He's trying to make things work that aren't going to work.
And you're right. And that might
coming off the bench is so overblown in terms of like how the actual basketball game operates.
But then why is he so resistant to it? That's the problem.
It's not about the literal coming off the bench. It's about what it symbolizes. That's the thing. It symbolizes a willingness to subsume your role for the greater good.
Okay. Maybe I'm not explaining this correctly. Okay. Do you think Chris Paul would have been cool with him like not actually starting the games this year?
Like Chris Paul himself?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Right.
I'll say no. But the thing, now it's weird because obviously Chris Paul is still, when he is playing well, a tremendous player.
Yeah, I almost think, though, that maybe that's the way. I think when Carmelo Anthony's responding that, I almost feel like he's interpreting that question as like, I'm not even going to be starting. Okay.
Well, how about this? Let me change it from starting bench to Carmelo. A lot of people, especially the basketball intelligentsia for a long time, has thought Carmelo's best role is the four.
Yeah.
Carmelo's best role is playing power forward because that's where he can really accentuate his strengths and helps your offense a lot. He was unwilling to do that in New York. Does that bother you?
No, because now he was willing to do it in Oklahoma City. Like, so for all this, for you guys wanting to say that he hasn't grown or hasn't done this or doesn't done that, he was willing to change his attitude about that when he came to Oklahoma City as well.
But I mean, he was leaving the New York Knicks, who are a dumpster fire, for a team that had two good players. Uh-huh. Of course he's going to.
Okay, so of course he's going to do that. But you're pointing to the fact that he wouldn't do it in New York as evidence that he's a bad person and they'll never change.
In
a different situation, he changed his attitude. So why would he not also?
But this
be
was a different
of,
situation. That's what I mean.
Coming to the Houston Rockets versus Oklahoma City is a much different situation.
But going
too.
From New York to the Oklahoma City Thunder, I mean, you would think he would do whatever you want, whatever you can to win, to give your team a better chance to win, and a better chance for the Thunder.
But
to win.
He wasn't willing to do anything. Wanted. I'm saying he bent and changed and morphed somewhat.
He did. He came in. He said, "I want to play on the bench." He said, "I don't want to come off the bench." Yeah,
you both said, "Of course he would change," but no, he didn't change at all. He did change in some ways. He's willing to change and play the four because he was going into this new situation. But at the same time, he's incapable of change because he refused to come off the bench.
I'm saying he was willing to change because he was going from an ass situation to another. I don't care about the positional side of things.
You don't care about it, but I'm saying about evidence of growth. You've asked for evidence of growth he's changed.
He's played 15 years. What is there? What have we seen? I'm saying
that he changed. Okay, given the situation, given his age, given the circumstances, he at least partially changed and shows some growth. And his ability and his willingness to do something different in Oklahoma City than he did in New York.
I understand what you're saying from that perspective, that he was doing different things on the court, but he was also going from an ass bag situation, uh-huh. an embarrassing clown show run by an idiot who's more obsessed with his acoustic albums than he is with actually running a team, to a team that, on paper, going into it, looked like it knew what it was doing. Of course he's going to join this team. But he didn't. I don't feel
No, he didn't do it 100%. You're trying to make it into this binary situation where it's like either or. You either change or you don't. And yet at the same time, you're saying, okay, because of the circumstances, he did change somewhat, just not to the complete level that you want, to where he's all of a sudden an altar boy.
I'm lost here.
I am too, because I feel like you're trying to claim two things, that he'll never change at all, and then the other he'll change.
I'm not trying to claim anything. I'm saying over 15 years, what has he done differently ever?
He played the four. He willingly played the four.
Play the four last year? This is a genuine question.
No, he was open and willing to play it.
Okay. That was just an open question. I was just curious about. Well, the other thing I'm wondering with D'Antoni, with Carmelo is, how do you not get along with Mike D'Antoni? Like, that's an honest question. We had this debate a month ago.
Well, they didn't have blow-ups. I mean, it was like, how do you not get along with him?
Well, I mean, we've had Laurel in here. We've chatted with Mike. Like, that dude, I don't know how you don't get along with Mike D'Antoni. I just don't know how that's possible.
Because I don't think it was a personality issue, though. I think D'Antoni was in the right in New York, but it was philosophical differences. You can have philosophical differences. Like, I've got a Muslim friend that I don't see eye to eye with. I get along with him, but we've got philosophical differences. Given a certain context, we would not get along well at all. Like, so when you have basketball philosophical differences versus, it wasn't like Carmelo hated Mike D'Antoni the person. It was like they had philosophical issues.
It felt like D'Antoni was made to be the scapegoat for New York,
though. I agree.
And it wasn't Carmelo Anthony made the scapegoat for New York.
And then you also kind of felt like Jeremy Lin had Lin's sanity and that Carmelo was jealous. And then when he came back, it was like, yep, we're all of a sudden reverting to what we were before, even though this thing worked with Jeremy Lin. And that was because Carmelo Anthony, it seemed from the outside, felt basically excluded from that whole thing.
And so all I'm saying is that, look, I'm not defending Carmelo and saying that, oh, no, he's always been a paragon of virtue or anything like that. It's that, look, over time, guys do change and circumstances change. And just as he partially changed his attitude and willingness to do certain things when he went to Oklahoma City, because admittedly it was a better situation, he did show some evidence of growth and maybe humility on a certain level.
From that perspective, yes. From, like, off the court, he was a good soldier the whole way through on that. But on the court, it didn't work. And, I mean, you can point at Russell Westbrook, and I know a lot of people are, and you can point at Billy Donovan. And honestly, I can't dismiss you pointing at those guys, but I just feel like we know what he is. He's going to come in here, and again, I have no problem with them making this move. I don't think anyone should have a problem with
them
making this move.
$2.4 million,
right? It's, I mean, if it ends up being a bleep up, you can cut the cord very easily. I just don't feel like in 15 years he has only played well one way, and that one way is not going to happen here.
I think I need to re-listen to your guys' debate and figure out exactly where we are on this.
Let me summarize. Just my sticking point is that I feel like Paul is saying, well, of course he changed in some ways, but of course he can't change ever.
I don't feel like I'm saying he can't change ever. I'm saying we've seen 15 years of him, and I don't think that was that much of a change going like from him as from where he was situationally. That was a change. From what he did, I don't think it was a change because he played poorly because he was still trying to play the same role. He said in his exit interviews, he said in his intro interviews, like, we have to figure out what kind of role, he said in his intro interviews. In his exit interviews, he said, we never figured out what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
I've been playing basketball the same way for 14 years, and he was trying to, it seems like, play the same kind of basketball that he'd played for 14 years before.
By the way, good text on the DWIattorney.com text line. Seth asked earlier in the segment, what's an example of some guys who have changed in terms of mentality over their careers? Hakeem was the guy who changed a lot.
Yeah.
Because Hakeem was angry and fighting people early on, and then he, I don't know if it was just he found religion literally or figuratively, but Hakeem obviously, he changed from that standpoint later in his career. So I thought that was a pretty good one.